First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 1 and going down to verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies, and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Today I want to preach a message on the subject of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Peter here uses physical terms that we can understand. And it doesn't matter from what culture you're in. We all understand what it's like to be a baby. We've all been babies, but more than that, we've seen babies. We've witnessed them. We know what they're like. And he says to the folks there, to the strangers who were scattered throughout, he says to those saints, he says, "Lay aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." What's a newborn baby want more than anything else in the world? It's amazing to me, but the reality of it is that the baby, more than anything else in the world, wants milk. The baby doesn't have to be taught that. The baby doesn't have to learn that. The baby needs it. And that's what the baby desires. You could have a room full of hamburgers and steaks and lobster and all sorts of other kinds of food. But the baby wants milk. The baby might have other things going on in the room and all that, but the baby has one thing on his mind, and that is milk. That's what the baby wants. That's what the baby needs. That's what the baby desires. And so Peter here is saying to them, put aside all this sinful behavior and get in the Word of God. Desire it like a baby desires milk, so that you may grow thereby. You know what would happen if a baby got distracted? Let's just say for argument's sake that if a baby got distracted and didn't go for the milk, what would happen to a newborn babe? The newborn babe wouldn't grow, would it? He would not grow at all if that newborn babe sought after other things. If the newborn babe came out of the womb and said, "Well, Mom, I don't have time for this. I've got better things to do. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. And I've got to get on with my education. Forget the milk. I've got things to do. See you later, Mom." And wait a second. We've got some steps we have to go through, right? And if that babe skipped the milk, there'd be no growth. There'd be no doctoring or lawyering. The baby has to have milk. And so God gave the baby that kind of desire. And God has given us this kind of desire. That when we've been born again, we have this kind of desire as well. And he says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Hand the Bible off to a unbeliever, to someone who's not been born again. They're not interested in it, are they? But give it to a child of God and they're interested. Why? Because they have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see? In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Growth always presupposes life. Something will not grow unless it's alive. And so it is in the spiritual world. Dead things do not grow. Dead grass does not grow. Dead trees do not grow. A child who has died will not grow. When we talk about spiritual growth, we mean folks who have been saved, folks who have been born again, folks who have been made alive spiritually. We cannot expect any spiritual growth from someone who has never been born again. There's no spiritual maturity, spiritual growth that's going to happen if that person has never been born again. Someone who's never been quickened. Someone who's never been made alive. Someone who's never been saved. Let me go out and water the garden. If I have a tomato plant that's died, I can water it all day long. I can give it sunlight. I can give it all the things that it needs, but that tomato plant is not going to grow. It's dead. To give illustration here, to gruesome illustration, but it's still an illustration, going along with what Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. A newborn babe that's been stillborn, dead. You could try to give that baby milk, but that baby won't grow. There's death, you see. And spiritually, when we talk about spiritual growth, we mean someone who has been born again. In Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning of verse 12. He says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The only way that someone can grow is if they're alive. The only way that we can be alive is in Christ. But those who are in Christ, those who are living in Christ, we have to understand that there are some who grow quicker than others. And that's the way it is in the physical world too. Some living things grow quicker than others. And I'm thankful for that. It's interesting to watch and to learn. I began thinking about this the last few weeks. You know, my family and I, we love fresh fruit and vegetables. And we, through the years, we've piddled around with the garden different times. And we've had fruit trees in Ohio. And now we're trying to get some fruit trees down here. And so we've added some fruit trees in the yard there. We don't have a lot of room, but we've got some. So I got over at Lowe's to see what Jill and I, we went down to Lowe's and we saw what kind of fruit trees they had. We got a papaya tree. We got a persimmon tree. And we got a couple banana trees. We never had anything like any of those in Ohio. But my goodness, those banana trees. And they're not really trees. They don't have wooden stock, but they're called trees. But they grow fast. They grow very fast. I put them in the ground and it wasn't just a little bit, and a leaf started coming shooting out of that thing. It seemed like you'd blink, and a whole big banana leaf is popped out of there. Now, where'd that come from? I'm glad grass doesn't grow that fast. I wouldn't be able to keep up with it. But you know, all these trees and things, they're all living. They're all growing. But some are growing faster than others. Same thing with children. Some grow faster than others. But they're all growing. What would concern us is if there was no growth. We don't want our spiritual growth to be stunted. We don't want it to be no growth. We want it to continue on. And so let us look at some ways in which that our growth, we could look at this from the positive, we could look at it from the negative, but I want us to look at it from the positive. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, there are some ways to grow. And I'll let you fill in the blanks. There's some ways that you can stunt your growth. And you can fill in the blanks. And if you want to stunt your growth, you can do the opposite. But in Romans chapter 10. Well, before we get too far over there, there in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews, writing to these folks, and he tells them, he says, look, he said, y'all should be to the point of eating steaks. I mean, if we were to put this in modern language, he said, y'all should be eating T-bone steaks and be able to figure out where the bone is and the gristle, and you should be able to eat that. But you can't handle it. You can't even handle a good cheeseburger. Because you've not grown. You're still on the bottle. That's what he's saying to them. You're still on the bottle. You haven't grown. You haven't grown. You should be teachers, he says. But rather you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. These were seasoned saints, folks that have been saved a long time. They should have been teaching others by now, but they weren't able to because their growth was stunted. They were still at the baby level. Something was wrong. In other words, they had not matured. We don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. As God's people, we want to grow and mature every day of our lives as we go through life up until the day that we die. And so how do we do that? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The first step of growth is when we confess Jesus as our Savior. A newborn baby, when he's born, will announce to the world that he's been born. And a newborn babe in Christ will announce this publicly. That's the first step of growth, I believe. But then there's another step that's also very important. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we'll end up in Revelation chapter 1 and find out that the candlestick is the Lord's church. Child of God, when he's saved, is going to... every child of God ought to join and be an active member of the Lord's church. Child of God will grow when they become an active member of one of the Lord's churches. There's an example of that. In Acts chapter 9, you find Saul of Tarsus, as soon as he was saved, tried to join the Lord's church. That's just one example. But I believe that there are saved people outside of the Lord's churches, but I believe that their growth is harmed when they're outside of the Lord's church. Well, look there over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 15, it says, and he gave some apostles... Ephesians 4, beginning verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The church is the place to grow, to be edified, to be strengthened, and yes, even corrected. Those who shun church membership and those who refuse to be active members of the church are destined to remain babes in Christ. They have despised the body of Christ and will not grow properly. But the Lord lays it out here in His Word of why. Why we have the church and why we ought to be in the church and why we ought to be at every chance we get to be in the service. Obviously, there's times when we're providentially hindered. You know, there's times when I've missed. There's times when you've missed. And certainly the Lord understands that. If it's for the right reasons. Oh, but so often in the world that we live in, there's folks who make a habit out of it. I mean, why not? There were folks in the New Testament that were making habits out of it. There's some who are laying out of church who are, their growth is stunted. Or perhaps they've never been born again at all. Not that there's salvation in the church. You understand that? I'm not saying that you got to be in church in order to be saved. But I am saying 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. First John 2 and 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There are folks who leave the church, quit coming, and that sort of thing. And maybe they were never saved at all. But when you put two born-again believers together, one who has been faithful to the Lord and His church all of her life, and one who has not, one that goes maybe every now and again, and you look at their growth, you'll notice a difference. Folks, there's a reason why that the church was given and why the pastor is to feed the flock and all of those things. It's for our growth and God's glory. We can't expect to grow if we're not faithful to the Lord and His church. In John chapter 4, verses 28 and 29. John 4, 28 and 29, he says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You'll grow. I'll grow. God's people grow when we share our faith with others. A person, when we talk about the truths of God's Word, the gospel, when we talk about the faith with others, this emboldens us, it encourages us, it helps us to grow. Yeah, it's going to be difficult at first, but like anything else, the more we do it, the easier it'll get. and the better we'll become at it. And plus, you'll get to hear, as you do this, you'll get to hear all of the excuses people have, all the objections that folks have to the truth. And this too will help you grow. You know, sometimes people will ask you a question or come up with some counterpoint. And as you get into God's Word, that will help you to grow as you discuss these things with others. Share the gospel. Share the faith. Share the truth with others. That will help you to grow. Come to church, be fed, share with others. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Working for the Lord is a good way to grow. Not everybody is going to be the pastor. Not everybody's going to be the treasurer. Not everybody is going to be the piano player. But working for the Lord, there's something that we all can do for God. One thing's for sure, idle saints don't grow as fast as saints who are doing the work of God. Think of it this way. Physical exercise profits our bodies as we grow. When you're a child, it helps us to grow up. As we get older, physical exercise helps us from growing out. But physical exercise helps us. In the Lord's work, and when we think about physical growth, spiritually, working for the Lord is good exercise to help proper growth. As Thomas Brooks said, the old Puritan writer, he said, an idle life and a holy heart is a contradiction. An idle life and a holy heart is a contradiction. Oh, there's so many things that distract us, but we ought to be busy doing the Lord's work. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to pray. We need to pray often, daily. We need prayer. Our prayer life will help us in our growth. Whatever's going on in our life, you know, we have many things that come up. If we would take those things to the Lord in prayer, it would help us in our growth. When we think about the Lord, someone once said, the Lord went more willingly to the cross than what we go to the throne of grace. And that's true. We don't go to the throne of grace as often as we should. But sin, failures, weakness, worldliness, all these things come up. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come often. and tell all. Take it to the throne of grace. That will help. That will help. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we were there a while ago, but it's worth repeating. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Oh, how we need the word of God. God speaks to us not through visions or dreams, not through TV programs, but God speaks to us through His word. Through His word. We need God's word. We need to be studying it. We need to be reading it. We need to be meditating on it. We need to listen to what God has for us. And He'll bless. He'll help to He'll help us to grow as we get into the Word of God. We need, you know, we get up through the day. We go to the refrigerator. We go to the dinner table, we get a snack, we go to the restaurant. We never forget to eat the physical food. But oh, how we need spiritual food. When's the last time that we've gone a whole week feasting every day on the Word of God? A month, every day. A year, every day, reading the Word of God. I guarantee you, you'll see the growth that happens. So much more could be said in thinking about these things in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I can do all things. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 4. Philippians 3 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In order to grow properly, we've got to set our eye on the mark. We've got to keep our eye on Jesus. Oh, there's no growth in keeping our eyes on this world. Every little drama, every little bit that comes up in this world, every little emergency that pops up, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In order to grow properly, we need to move forward, looking forward to Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Him. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. And then, in closing, we find growth to go along with that in 1 John chapter 2. Or 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. And he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. There's growth to be found by looking for and expecting His return. If we would get hold of the idea, the truth, that Jesus is coming. That there's work to be done and Jesus is coming, that He could come at any moment. I believe there'd be huge growth in God's people. Much growth to be found in. We find it. God has given us all we need to grow and mature. We look at the great men and women of the faith. Abraham, Sarah, Mary, Paul, John. Even some from outside of the Bible. Polycarp, Tertullian, Spurgeon, Bunyan, Adoniram Judson. And we see the great things that they did and we think, man, those guys were great. I wish I could be that, like them. We can. We can. God has given us everything we need in order to grow to the point of being mature saints of God like them. Beware of things that might stunt our growth. And follow after and do those things which will help us to grow. Pray that the Lord will keep us faithful till that time comes when He calls us home to be with Him. To desire only just one thing, that when we do see Him face to face, that we hear Him say, "Well done, now good and faithful servant." So at the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. May God help us that we grow in a way that's pleasing to Him, whether we grow fast like the banana tree or not. The point is that we grow. Let's stand to be dismissed.